If you have your Bibles with you tonight, Song of Solomon, chapter 3, Song of Solomon. I told you this morning, the title of the message tonight is Bringing the Lord to Church. Bringing the Lord to Church. I did find out today after talking to a few people after this morning's messages, some of them went home and some of the men threw all their Muscle Man t-shirts out and some of the wives got rid of all their snuff. And so I'm glad that, I'm glad that the Holy Spirit convicted, you know, and we got some repentance going on out there among the brethren. Amen. So, Patty, appreciate you doing it. I'm just kidding. We got talking about trying that stuff when we were kids and that, man, I only tried chewing tobacco one time. That cured me, buddy. I was done. I didn't know you could spin around that many times without going anywhere. But we look at the book in the Song of Solomon, chapter 3, and this is an unusual book in the Bible. And the Bible says, "By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me." Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word tonight, and thank you for the ones here in the service that we had this morning, and thank you for Stella and Leon being led back to us, Lord, joined back up with us. We're thankful for that. Lord, I just pray tonight again that you move among us, speak to our hearts, that we not just have a service where we go through the motions, but that we're open, receptive to you speaking to us, Lord. We know you speak different ways, and we're aware that you speak through the preaching of your word. Lord, help us to understand that, that what's going on here tonight is for us on the one hand and also to glorify you on the other. And so we'll pray that you have your will and way tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When we look at the book, book of Song of Solomon is a unique book in the Bible. It's a love story written by Solomon himself with this love that he had for a Shulamite woman. And it's a book that the natural man doesn't understand, can't understand. Actually, it looks like a sensual book, being a love story, but it's not really a sensual book. It's a very spiritual book. And so and as we read in there a little deeper and understand, and as a saved person with the Holy Spirit of God, that God helps us understand this. It's a great analogy between the marriage relationship between a man and a woman. Make that clear. It's a figurative revelation of God's love for his covenant people, Israel, and it's also an allegory of Christ's heavenly love for his bride, the church. And so, you know, when we think about the Lord and in Jesus, of course, this was written before he came to the earth as a man in the New Testament times. But Jesus came down to this earth and he walked as a man, a living, breathing man, you know, born. We just celebrated the birth of Christ. He was born of a woman and walked on this earth and lived 33 and a half years. And then he was crucified and he died and he resurrected again. Then translated. He left and went to heaven, and he said, "I'm going to go." He said, "But I'm going to send the Comforter." So now Jesus, and that's speaking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus Himself is not walking on the earth like He did in those days, but He sent His Holy Spirit down here to the earth, and we've got the church. And when we believe and trust Christ, we have the Holy Spirit of God living and dwelling in us, and so that He walks. And we walk, and He should be walking with us. Now, we know we can grieve the Spirit, and we can quench the Spirit. And I'm telling you what, just because we're having church doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit of God is here the way He could be, or the real presence of God, or Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit. And so what I'm going to reference tonight about bringing Christ to church, I mean in the person of the Holy Spirit of God, that we can bring the Lord to church. And so the Bible says, as I said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. But you know, a lot of times we're gathered together and we gather, we're not gathering in his name. You know, we're gathering maybe for another reason or maybe another motive. And so, you know, the spiritual presence of Christ is the glory of the church. I mean, we're not going to get anything done without the presence of Christ. I don't care who we have speaking, personality, knowledge, our human wisdom, education, all those things are not going to do anything spiritually. It's got to be done by God. I can't do it for you. I can't drum it up. I can't do anything. I can just pray and you know, but we need God to speak to our hearts, and so that's what's needed in the church. And listen, if the Spirit of Christ is not in the church, she may have a name that she lives, but is dead. And you know what happens when something dies? The next thing that happens after something dies, it corrupts, and the church will go the same way spiritually. If we, if this church doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, if we're not alive by the Spirit of Christ, then we will die, and then the church will corrupt as well. And so the Holy Spirit empowers the church, and the great need of every ministry in the church. That's what we need. I mean, listen, we're to educate ourselves. The Bible said to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. We're supposed to study the word of God. We need to study the word of God. But we still need the Holy Spirit of God. It's good to plan. It's good to organize. It's good to, Jesus did those things even. He organized. But we still have to have, I don't care what ministry you have. If it's a Sunday school class, you still need the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. If it's a little kids class, listen. Listen, God can speak to their hearts just like he speaks to an adult heart. You need the Holy Spirit of God in that ministry. If it's a bus ministry even, I know that doesn't think like, and Jesus may not want to ride with y'all, but I'm just kidding. But I mean, if it's a bus ministry, you know, then Jesus, the Spirit of Christ needs to be in that as well. And so it's everything has to be what we do. The choir, everything we do has got to be empowered by the Spirit of Christ. We need His presence there. And all of our deficiencies and all of our weaknesses and all of our failures can be cured by the presence of the Holy Spirit. I've said this for years, the cure-all for what ails the church, and I don't mean just this one, but all the church whole, is the presence, the felt presence. He said two or three, but you know, you don't always feel the presence of Christ. And it's usually because we've grieved the Holy Spirit and we've quenched the Holy Spirit. He said he can be quenched, and that the Spirit can be quenched. And we do that a lot of times. It's not so much by what goes on in church sometimes. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's what goes on in here, because, buddy, there's been some ungodly stuff that's gone on. I don't mean immorality. Well, you know, as far as I know, immorality, but I'm just talking about other things, man, hate and discontent and bitterness and good grief. I mean, stuff goes on, you know, but we're trying to worship God. But I'm telling you what, a whole lot of what goes on before we get to church, during the week, before we get here, has quenched the Holy Spirit of God before we ever start. We're not bringing Christ to church, and I'll talk about that in just a second. And so, you know, it should be the desire of every member to have the real presence of Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit present with us, not only at church. Listen, I'm telling you what, I mean, I need a filling of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to need a filling of the Holy Spirit tomorrow just as much as I need today. I need it tomorrow all day. I need it on Tuesday all day. I mean, if we're going to walk in the power of the Spirit, if we're going to be a witness for Christ, you know, we need that real felt presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives right there. And so we look in our text tonight. We see in the text this Shulamite woman that she brought the one whom her soul loveth, it said, into her mother's house. That's a great this parallel spiritual picture. There is this one whom her soul loveth, pictures the Lord Jesus Christ, and she brought it to her mother's house. That picture is bringing him to church. And so here's the thing: before we can bring the Holy Spirit into the house, and it could be into the house, I'm looking at it from the church's point of view, or want to use that analogy tonight. The very first point is right here: we have to find him personally ourselves. We have to find him personally ourselves. Now, and it's a little play on the words and a little tricky thing. And I understand, listen, before this is from the viewpoint that this woman is somebody that would be saved, that's looking for, searching for the one that her soul loveth. I mean, you can't love the Lord until you know the Lord. And if you know the Lord, then you are saved. We've got that point. So we understand that the first step is being saved. And then the Bible says that when we're saved, that we receive the Holy Spirit of God in our heart. I didn't do it. And so, and baby, and you know, Sophie's usually pretty, you know, but I don't know what happened. But anyway, you get wound up, probably getting hungry. You know, we have to be saved. And so listen, we don't have the Holy Spirit before we're saved, and then we do have the Holy Spirit as a permanent possession in our life after we're saved. Like I said, we grieve Him, we quench Him, and all those things right there. But there's no spiritual life whatsoever until we're saved. And so we can't really be involved in spiritual acts until we're saved. And so if we're going to be a blessing, but we look at it from this point that we're a saved person. And I'll show you that this woman here, even though she loved her soul, her soul loved this one she was looking for, but she was looking for him. He wasn't present right at the time. He was looking for him. We'll see that in a minute. But if we're going to be a blessing to the church, listen, us as individuals, and a lot of times people come to churches, they're looking to get a blessing, but you know, we're all supposed to be a blessing. I told somebody, listen, we got the Facebook thing, we're on the webcast right here, but I'm going to tell you what, yeah, you could stay at home. I mean, I could just get up here and have my shorts on behind the pulpit, nobody know my flip-flops, and you just have it, and all they see is me, and they don't know that nobody's here, and I can act like, hey, brother, how you doing? And not a soul be in here, and the people over there in TV land think somebody's here. You can stay home in your pajamas and watch what's going on, but I'm going to tell you what, and you may get a blessing out of it, but I'm going to tell you what, you can't bless me. Huh? You can't be a blessing to the church. There's folks out there today that like to go around. They go and they don't want to commit anywhere in particular because they don't want to, you know, they don't want to have to, you know, because we don't like that word commit. It's like a four-letter word. And so you can't be a blessing. But part of what the church's plan is, or what God's plan for the church was, is that we can help one another. You can be a blessing for me. You might have gone through something in life and that I haven't gone through, and now I'm about to go through it. And you can say, hey, brother, let me encourage you here because I went through this same thing, and this is how it was, and this is what I did. But not if you're not here. You might have a talent. God put us all together. We got different talents, and we understand that, and we got us all together here coordinating in one thing, and so, you know, getting coordinated on some stuff, and so we can help out. And so, but a lot of people are just content to come to churches and just sit down and just receive a blessing when they come, or hopefully receive a blessing when they come. But if we're going to be a blessing to the church, then we've got to move to a higher plane than just salvation. We've got to get a little bit past just being saved. That's just the beginning of it. Who in the world wants to have a baby and that baby stays a baby all the rest of its life? It never grows up past being a baby. You know, I know we like that with dogs. I tell people, they got a puppy. Oh, ain't it cute? I said, yeah, the problem is it turns into a dog. You know, we just wish our dog would stay a puppy all the time. Well, part of it there. But we got to move to a higher plane than just being saved. And that's what, you know, so the Bible talks about that, the milk of the word and that, and a babe in Christ and then grow. We're not to stay right there because we can't really, a baby is just like Danielle now. She's got a responsibility in Philip, and they got a baby, and Sophie was, you know, getting in a, wound up, and so she had a responsibility. She had to take the baby out. She just can't see. So what happens if you remain a babe in Christ? Guess what? You're not a blessing, you're a burden. Because somebody's got to change your diaper. Somebody's got to hold your hand. Somebody's got to give you a Bible, a bottle, a Bible too. A bottle. You know what I'm saying? I'm just giving you, you know, not physically, but it's the same thing. You always got to minister to them. They can't minister to you because they haven't got past that just being a babe in Christ. And so we have to get past that. You know, a person, you know, we're talking about having life in Christ, you know, walking in victory, having that life. But you know what? There's people that are alive, but they're on life support. I mean, they're just barely breathing. They got breath and they got a pulse, but they're hooked up to a machine and they're on life support. Listen, how can they be a blessing to you? How can they help you? How can they do anything? You know, they're not, you have to help them. And so what happens, and I'm not, listen, don't take this and say, well, pastor says, you know, you shouldn't go. I'm not talking about the sick people. That's not what it's talking about. I'm talking about Christian folks that's supposed to be walking, pulling up by their own bootstraps, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, going out and being a blessing and doing something for God and getting saved, but they never get past being a babe, or they're always hooked up to a machine, barely breathing, barely got a pulse, and they can't do nothing for God. As a matter of fact, you can't do nothing for God because you've got to go over and minister to them constantly, but they're supposed to be as powerful as you are, because that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about literally the sick people. I'm just saying spiritually sick, when you get that way, instead of being a blessing, you're a burden. And this is what, and so we need to see, we got to, if we're going to bring Christ to the church in the person of the Holy Spirit, then we've got to find him ourselves. You know, we've got to grow and walk in the Spirit, and we've got to, even though we have the Spirit, you can have the Spirit but still be on that life support machine, because you're not really putting all your trust and you know, growing in grace and those things right there. And now listen, if we're going to bring Christ to church, you know, we have to seek him ourselves. Verse 1 said she loved him, but she also sought him whom she loved. See, we know the Lord, and we claim that we love the Lord, but you know what? There's a daily seeking him, rising up early. Jesus himself went to the garden early, sometimes a great while before day. It said, and he prayed to the Father. He's seeking that relationship. And this is what, I'm not talking about seeking him for salvation. I'm talking about seeking him for a relationship. We've still got to seek him. Listen, it just doesn't happen. You know, I got a friend of mine that's preached. We've known each other since we were 4 years old. We kind of got disconnected for a while. But, you know, around Christmas time, those holidays, I call him up, man. We catch up. But, you know, that we got to work on that relationship. How's it going with you? How's your health? What's been going on with you? You know, all those type things. That's what you do that with in relationships, human relationships. The Bible says here that she sought him on her bed. She sought him in the streets. She even asked the watchman. In other words, she was persistent. She didn't give up. She didn't use just one thing. Like, listen, this one thing right here is not your only means to walk with the Lord. If Sunday church, if Sunday morning church or Sunday night church is the only means, the only connection you've got to Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you, you got a weak Christian life, and you may not even have one at all. I mean, if you let's try this one. Let's try, don't drink no water the rest of the week till next Sunday. Don't eat any food till next week, till Sunday. Probably do some of us some good. We can pull that off. You know, don't eat any food, though, and see how it is for a whole week. I mean, don't do anything, you know. Hold your breath all week long until next Sunday. How's that going to work out? I don't think you're going to make it that very long. Well, you can't do the same thing with your Christian life. You can't just come to church on Sunday morning and you're going to get enough to live on all week long the rest of the way. You've got to seek the Lord not only here. You've got to seek him every day yourself, or else you're going to die. You're going to die spiritually. You're not going to have a spiritual life. The Bible says that she went to the watchman right there. Watchman in the Bible, a lot of times, it refers to either a preacher or a prophet. A preacher or a prophet, and that's what I'm talking about right there. You know, in other words, listen, you have to find him for yourself. The watchman in this case didn't help her. She had to keep on looking, and that's what I'm saying. I can't give you everything that, you know, I'm not going to find the Holy Spirit for you. I can't give it to you. You know, you have to look yourself. You have to get in the Word of God. You have to have that relationship. You have to pray. You know, and she had a constant, continual search, seeking. How's God going to speak to me? How are you going to speak to me? You know, you're either going to have to see me in person. Nowadays, we got text message, telephone, faith. But it's going to be some kind of communication that we're going to have. You have to seek to do that. You have to seek to do that. It's the same way with the Lord. How are you going to have a relationship with the Lord if you don't pray? How are you going to have a relationship with the Word if you don't look in the Word of God and let God speak to you while you're reading the Word of God? Not just on, it wouldn't be very much of a relationship if we just talked to anybody just once a week. I mean, you know, you'd know them. You kind of know them, but, you know, it wouldn't be the kind of relationship whom my soul loveth, what she's talking about in this text right there. She left no stone unturned. And so what this means is that we need to remove every obstacle of sin, any obstacle that is in the way. You know, whatever it is that's keeping you from having a relationship, you know, walking in constant fellowship with the Lord. What keeps us from walking in constant fellowship with the Lord? What's sin? I mean, it's sin, neglect, which would be a sin. That's still a sin. Like I say, we think of sin sometime. We're always putting the big ones up there. You know, lying, stealing, cheating, stealing, whatever it may. You know, we're not thinking about the things like just neglecting God, putting something first before God, neglecting His Word, neglecting to pray, because we got commands about praying always, pray without ceasing, those type things. We don't think about those as being sin too, but it's an obstacle in your life, in your fellowship with the Lord. So the very first thing, if we're going to bring the Lord to the church with us, we got to find Him ourselves. We've got to seek Him ourselves. You getting this right here? And so then the second thing is we got to retain Him. Point number two, we have to retain Him. Verse 4, it said, it was but a little while, a little that I passed from them, and I found Him whom my soul loved. And look what it says, I held Him and would not let Him go. I found Him, I held Him, and I would not let Him go. You know, sitting at the feet of Jesus is one thing, but remaining there is another. Sitting and remaining are two different things. Always think about Mary and Martha. Remember Mary and Martha, and Jesus came to their house, and two sisters, and the Bible says that that Mary sat at Jesus' feet, but Martha was careful and troubled about many things. And you know how it is, ladies, when somebody comes over. My wife has a cow. Sometimes she don't know somebody's coming. Well, you know, don't take them in this room. Don't let them go in the garage. You know, I got to get everything. You know, get everything. And I said, you know, one, it's particularly men. We don't give a hoot about that. You know, we don't care that there's a piece of paper laying on the couch or, you know, we don't care about that. But, you know, I got to get everything lined up. And then when somebody comes, you know, you feel like, oh, I got to get some food ready. I got to get this ready. I got to get some drink. You know, do you want coffee? Do you want tea? You want milk? Crying out loud, you'd have to have a cart to carry everything out of there. And they worry about that. You know, hospitality, I get it. I get that. I mean, we ask people those things. And so, but what happens here, she had Jesus' teaching, and Mary got it, see? Mary sat down at the feet of Jesus. Said, man, what He's got is more important than what I got. But Martha was one of those that's worried about, and she's trying to get ready. Matter of fact, she even complained about it to Jesus right there. See, Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Martha was cumbered about much things. And what it is in our life, this is what happens to us. What keeps you, I'm not saying it's always sin that keeps you from seeking to be in the presence of the Lord every day. A lot of times it's just the regular things of life. I got a job. I got an obligation. I got a responsibility. I got this. I got that. Those cumbered about much things. But you know, in that story about Martha and Mary, Jesus even said she had chosen. How's it worded? I think she had chosen the best part or the best thing. I may paraphrase that just a little bit. She had chosen what was best. You know, there's good, better, and best. And she had got all the way up to best, as that's what she chose right there. And so, you know, when we think about the spiritual condition of the average Christian, the spiritual condition of the average Christian looks like a roller coaster ride or one of them graphs. It looks like the stock market graph. You know, it goes up and down. It's like this. We're up and down, up and down, up and down. And that's about all the way it is. But Jesus said this. He said, abide in me. He said, don't come. He didn't say just get near me or just look from afar at me. But He said, abide in me. Abiding. I mean, it looks like that's a word. It's an action word. That's a doing word right there where you have to abide right there. And it's apparent that if He's not held, this woman, she, if we look at it from the analogy standpoint, she knew the Lord. She loved, her soul loveth Him. But she was seeking Him and she wanted to hold Him. That means there was a time that she'd already done this. But it's apparent that if we don't hold the Lord, that He will go away. Remember old Jacob when he got in a wrestling match there with the pre-incarnate Christ? Said he wrestled with Him all night long. And it said when he latched on, he said, I will not let thee go unless thou bless me. And boy, I mean, he held on for all that was worth right there. That's holding on to the Lord. And I believe if he hadn't held on, the Lord would have already departed from that time right there. Those Emmaus Road disciples that I talked about this morning, when the Lord came, the Bible says, I think they used the word constrained. They constrained Him to stay with them. In other words, they were going down the road, and they were walking down the road, and Jesus was walking down the road. And when they saw Him, and they were going to turn in because they were tired, but the Lord was going to act as if He was going to go on. But they constrained Him. So if they had not constrained Him, if they had said, no, stay with us and rest a while and this and that, if they hadn't have done that, I believe the Lord would have kept on going. He just would have kept on going. And listen, it's that way. Listen, the Lord doesn't force Himself on any one of them. You don't want to read your Bible? He ain't going to make you. He may convict you some, but he's not going to force you. You don't want to pray? He's not going to force you. You don't want to come to church? You don't want to worship? He's not going to force you. But he's going to get away from you. There's going to be some separation there. There's going to be some distance in your relationship if that takes place. He's willing. He's willing to be held. That's the Lord. You know, we hold him. How do we hold the Lord? And well, one, by obedience, you know, which has to do with our conduct. That's how you hold on to the Lord. You hold the Lord by obedience. You know, just think. If the church would be blessed, God would be glorified, souls would be saved, if we would hold on to him and not let him go. I mean, that's just the way, that's what we have to do. So we've got to find him. You know, we've got to find him for our own self. Then we've got to hold on or retain him. I put it down that way, retain him. And then the third thing is, we got to bring him to church. We got to bring the Lord to church. And I preached this thought in different ways over time. It said, she said there, I brought him to my mother's house right there. See, we have it backwards a lot of times. A lot of times people come into church, what are they looking for? They're coming to church so that they're looking for the Holy Spirit, or they're looking to hear from God, or they want something from God, instead of bringing God to church with them. You get this? This is way. Listen, if we're here, if everybody here is saved and we're all claiming to be saved, if we're here saved, listen, we should have such a relationship with Jesus Christ, be so filled with the Holy Spirit of God that we're bringing the Holy Spirit of God to church with us in our own self. Now, we have him, I know that, back to the being quenched and grieved a lot of times, you know, to the point where we're not real sure. I don't know how many people I know, they're not really sure that they're saved. They're not sure about their salvation. Why? Because they have quenched and grieved the Holy Spirit to the point that they don't hear from God, they don't feel anything from God. And then a lot of times what they do, they either blame me or the preacher or the church. There's something wrong with that church. Man, I never feel the presence of God. Well, hey, if you brought him with you, you would feel the presence of God, right? How about that? This has got to be the accumulation of our relationship. Am I getting out of the picture, brother? This has got to be the accumulation of our worship all week long. Think about it, man. We go out of here tomorrow, boy, and we get up in the morning and we're seeking the Lord, seeking the one who our soul loves. We seek him and we're filled with the Holy Spirit tomorrow. Think about this. And then we get up and we have that relationship all day. And then on Tuesday, we do the same thing. And on Tuesday night and Tuesday and Wednesday morning and Wednesday night, we're back over here at Bible study prayer meeting. But, you know, it can't be just here. You got to have it in the morning. And then Thursday, and we did that all week long. And by the time we got back to church on Sunday, man, I mean, listen, you know, churches wouldn't need revivals meeting. We'd be in a revival meeting. We'd be having that, man, on fire for God. This is what it's got to be. Instead of coming in here empty as all get out, hoping that poor old preacher up there can pour something down into your soul, give you a little bit of, you know, you're on E and you're just hoping you can get the light off on the gauge where it doesn't say, you know, got a flashing gas tank saying you're about to run out. That's what you're hoping for right there. Instead of coming in filled to the brim, overflowing with the Spirit of God, overflowing to everybody else. Somebody else might have a burden. Somebody else may be down in the dumps, and you got something to give them instead of you coming, and you are the burden when you get in. Amen? Amen? Amen. That's good stuff right there. I might have to jump out here and amen myself before it's all over with. So, we have to bring him to church. And listen, the church has its faults, but the presence of Christ and the person of the Holy Spirit can fix them all. So like I say, bring him. Another way we bring the Lord to the church is by our testimony, a walking, breathing, living example of the power of Christ's atoning blood in our own life. That's what we're supposed to have when we come to church. The Bible talks about walking in the newness of life. You know, a tree that's full of the fruit of the Spirit. Boy, love, joy, peace, all those things ought to be, excuse me, just overflowing off of our life. That's it, man. A tree, you know, you just can't get the fruit off it fast enough. And bearing witness for Christ, that really brings him to church as well. And then by our prayers, I mentioned that before. I'm getting choked up. I'm good, man. What do you got? No, I'm just kidding. you know, listen. If you really understand the power of prayer, man, you'll pray without ceasing. I mean, when you really understand the power of prayer, you'll pray without ceasing. Boy, I'm praying. I'm praying for you. Sophie's that's a good baby right there. She hardly ever gets. She just she's feeling happy. That's okay. Listen, I'll preach over. It's all right to have kids, man. It's a blessing to have young babies and people bringing their kids to church. I think I sent a text out. Patty Meadows, maybe you sent something. I sent one of those that shared something there about that. Hey, no big deal, man. We all know what a baby's like. I'll talk loud. You just listen loud. Amen. We'll get through it. Listen, prayerlessness is unbelief. Prayerlessness is unbelief. That's really all it boils down to. And I said something about this morning. Man, listen, if you got kids, man, I would be praying for them on my knees, every altar call, down at the altar praying in the morning, praying with the kids before they go to school. I'd pray with my spouse. I'd pray with my brothers and sisters. I pray with every Sunday school teachers. And I'm going to tell you what, you need to pray for your students, whoever you got. I don't care if you got two. Pray for them every single day. Christian, praying for lost. I don't mean the general, well, Lord, we just lift all the lost up to you. I mean, get somebody on your heart. Pray for that person to be saved. You'd see God work. It's amazing how you can start praying for somebody by name specifically, and then they get saved, and you're all amazed about it. Wow, they got saved. Pray for somebody. Prayer brings Christ to church. That's what happens. So if we ever get this straightened out, boy, we'll really have, we'll have church when we're bringing him instead of looking for him when we get here. Amen? Listen, this church right here, this is just a building. It's not any. It's just a building. I think we ought to respect it and all that. But listen, man, I don't know. It's like the old story, when a tree falls in the woods, does anybody hear it? If nobody's around, does it make a sound? If nobody's around, they say, if a tree falls in the woods and nobody's there to hear it, does it make a sound? Well, I'm going to tell you what, when we all go out of here, is God still in here? Well, in the sense that he's everywhere, yeah, but I mean, not in the same way as it is when we come and we got the Holy, yeah, he dwells. This here is the sanctuary right here. This is the sanctuary. Listen, a prayer of confession. It's our sins that drive the Lord away. That's what pushes God away. It puts that separation. I'm not talking about losing your salvation, but I'm telling you, there's a distance right there. I spoke about that this morning. How many of you ever had a falling out in a relationship and there's that chilliness that prevails? You kind of see them, they seem you, and then just, it ain't right. It's the same way with God. It's the same exact same way. Where do we get that feeling? God gives it to us. Those same feelings right there. We need to be careful not to live a weak life. We need to be careful to live a life without God in it or without Christ in our life. How we live matters to the Lord. It does matter to the Lord. Ananias and Sapphira found that out. I had an argument one time with somebody about, God never sends evil and this and that. I said, well, who killed Ananias and Sapphira? They said, well, sin killed them. I said, if sin killed them, we'd all be dead. Crying out loud, I said, God killed them. It was God, man. Listen, Ananias and Sapphira, and I preach it this way. Somebody else may preach it to them, but they were saved because they lied to the Holy Spirit. How are you going to lie to the Holy Spirit if you don't have the Holy Spirit? But they was in the church and acted like they had done something they hadn't done, and it was trying to take credit for it. They had pride. That type of thing in the early church, and buddy, God come along and killed both of them right there, man. I mean, how you live matters to the Lord. And that was the early church, and God was trying to keep it pure, and I think he still wants it to be pure right there. Listen, the Holy Spirit was present, but look at the purpose in that case right there. Paul spoke about many being sick and weak in the church because of sin. Talked about it in dealing with the communion service. He said, for this cause many are sick and weak because they partook of communion unworthily, and means in an unworthy manner, which means that they had unconfessed or unrepentant of sin in their life. And then he said, and also many slept, which in the Bible, in that term, it means they died. You ever notice how many sick people we got? I mean, it's sick people all the time. I'm not saying it's all because of that, but I mean, crying out loud for a small town. I told Sherry, I said, I don't remember. I guess maybe it was when we lived in Fairfax, which is a pretty big, and we were younger and all the people we knew, but we didn't know as many people sick as we know now. But it's just a lot of sick people. It makes you wonder about things like that, in the church. And the Bible tells us that judgment begins in the house of God. Right? Judgment began. God killed Ananias and Sapphira. Do you think it's possible that he's not killing anybody today in the church for being hypocrites? He did it then. It was in the New Testament. There's nothing any different now than it was then. Listen, when Jesus comes to church, he sees only evil. he's going to do one of two things. When Jesus comes to church, if he sees any evil, he's going to do two things. One is depart. The Bible even talks about, I think at the temple, it wrote Ichabod over the door. It meant the glory of the Lord had departed. He'll depart if the church is tolerating evil. He will depart. And it'll allow it to become like the Laodicean church. Remember, they were lukewarm, right? God said, you know what? I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. In other words, you're making me sick. That's what he's going to do that. Or he's going to come in the church and he's going to prune the vine. He's going to trim the lamp. He's going to purge it with the fan that's in his hand with fire. He's going to clean it up. He's going to clean it up. That's what he did. That's what happened in the book of Acts. When Ananias and Sapphira were taken out, I'm not saying they were lost. I'm saying they're saved. I think he killed them and he took them off this earth right here. They lost some rewards in heaven right there. But I'll tell you what, it cleaned that church up. Took some hypocrisy out of there. Took somebody that had a lion spirit about them. Somebody that was dealing with pride, he took it out. He took it out of the church. Purged it. You know, thank God for that. Being in church shouldn't be taken lightly. It's not, and I'm telling you, the spirit of that I can take it or leave it, the casualness about whether we should go to church or not go, man, that's a sin. I just call it what it is. That's a sin right there. That casualness about our church faithfulness and attendance and serving God what God does or the work that God is doing in the church, it's a sin. I think we need to find him for ourselves. We need to hold on to him. We need to bring him to church. I think we need to remove any hindrance that we have that keeps him from coming with us and coming in our life, you know, staying in our life in that same way. By worldliness remove that. That's a sin. By prayerlessness. Charles Spurgeon said this. I wrote a little quote down from him about prayerlessness. He said, there are some members who never come to prayer meeting, and I should be afraid that their private prayers cannot be any too earnest. And read that to you again. There are some members who never come to prayer meeting, and I should be afraid that their private prayers cannot be any too earnest. Listen, we need to bring Jesus everywhere that we go, and we need to bring him especially. We need to bring him to church with us in our person. Let's all stand with us.